You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What is up? What is happening? Welcome in to In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Whether you're listening in live on the computer, you're listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio app, which you can go download at the App Store. Whether you're listening on demand, it doesn't matter because Bogman and the Welsh, they are here for you. We are here for them, Bogman.
I'm sorry. I'm trying this bacon breakfast burrito from a Mexican place. Pretty solid.
Oh yeah,
pretty solid.
Good.
Yeah.
I forgot we were talking about you potentially doing breakfast burrito updates on the show.
Yeah. So I like this one has egg and potato and bacon and cheese in it. So that is my favorite kind of burrito, and I'm a little nervous because I had some stomach issues this week, had to miss a day of work because of it. It was a whole thing, but I think this is going to end up pretty well for me.
You and the porcelain throne going head to head?
Yeah, I mean not head to head, but I mean almost. You know, I felt like is this coming back? What's happening?
And you're comfortable eating that thing right now?
Well, I'm just an animal, so it doesn't really matter. I'm gonna fire this down either way. So,
okay. One out of five bogs. How many bogs?
Remember
one bog being the best.
I was gonna say I forgot your stupid weird system. This is worse than
you only want one bog to be the best. Five is not great.
I would say 2.5 bogs. Like it's right down the middle. Like it's not the best thing I've ever had, but it's a pretty damn good way to start your day.
That's a little bit better than normal. I mean.
Like listening to In This League. It's a good way to start your day.
Okay. Well, I mean, I feel like we're closer to like a 1.5 box. Like that's like really, really good. 2.5 is really good. 3 would be down the middle.
Right. Yeah. Well,
it's a funnel system, Bogman.
2.5 would be down the middle, dummy, because it's 5, right? So 2.5 would be straight
down
the middle.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know what's wrong with me. So I was on, I'm just having a thing. I can tell everybody what's wrong with me, but. Maybe. I was on Target on Friday with Tony Cincotta and Jake Seeley, and we were doing prop bets, which we're going to talk about a little bit here. And I think you might have been listening. I don't know if you listened to the whole thing. Multiple times, Jake would say something. I respond, and then one of the times, I would respond and then completely not hear the details of what he said. And one time,
you were totally ignoring him, right?
I wasn't ignoring him. It wasn't processing. The one he asked me, it was so funny, his response, too, because he was like, what's more, what the prop bet was like, will Steph Curry make more threes or will Alshon Jeffrey have more catches? And I thought he said Curry field goals. So I was like, well, this is Curry. And then like, I think I'm super smart. And I'm like, you guys, you know, also, I would say this. If they would have said threes, I would say Steph Curry. And then Jake was
Jake's like, he goes, yeah, it was threes. Thanks for paying attention. Appreciate it.
I don't know what's wrong with me. So I'm not having a stroke. But you know what? This is probably what's wrong leading into this. By the way, in this episode, we are going to talk Super Bowl. We're going to talk about the big game, which is going down tomorrow. Or if you're listening on demand, maybe it's already happened. But we're going to be talking about that. We are going to talk about some prop bets because that's probably going to be popular programming that's going to be going out through all the week. And I think I want to talk about a few of them. So we got football. We've got some baseball that I want to cover. But the reason my brain is all over the place, it's because Bogman and I have a book coming out this week. Theoretically, on Monday, probably not, probably Tuesday or Wednesday. We've been doing nothing but this whole process for weeks now, and it's driving me crazy. We've already written it, but now we are, because we want to do things, you know, kind of want to doll some stuff up, make it bigger, better. The pages themselves are not just like, you know, blank pages with text. We're doing it with color, and it's in a boxing style format, and it's called the 99 2018 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates by Bogman and I. And it's 99 player debates with guest judges from all across the land. Our buddy Pizapia, Jake Seeley, Paul Spohr, Steve Gardner, Derek Van Riper. I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah, it was a lot of work, first of all. You know, I mean, I like being lazy,
still
so
is.
Couldn't be lazy with this. And yeah, it's a lot of work, and it was. I feel more prepared than I ever have been. I can say that because, you know, sure. We've never written a book before. So I feel super prepared for baseball and somehow still underprepared.
Yeah. I mean, I don't
kind of
never
feel
fully
both
feel
ways?
Prepared. No, totally.
Right.
100%. Like, I've been guests on some shows, and when I go on, they're like, we want to talk baseball. And I'm like, cool. And then I'm thinking, am I good? Like, I know stuff. I was actually on a show just the other day, and I literally had this, like, I literally got up from writing or from formatting the book to doing this interview. And then I thought to myself, I'm good. But then I could remember nothing of what I've written, what you've written, anything. And it was just not there. But the whole point of this book, and I want to translate this into some actual content here, not just us, you know, shouting off about our book and shilling. Exactly. Right. But it is coming out next week. And anyone listening, please buy it so, A, we ever consider doing it again. Because if we don't sell a lot, it's never happening again. And support your boys. It's not that expensive. It's be like $10 or less. It's going to be on Amazon. And we don't see it. Well, you and I agree to this. When we first started talking about doing this, we just didn't want to do a draft guide. Because a draft guide doesn't suit our personality. And you know what? There's a lot of other smart people out there doing draft guides. Like our boys, Pisa Pia with the Black Book.
Yeah, we want to do something different, and, you know, I love draft guides. I buy them and use them. Draft guides, and even our stuff, you know what I do? Crapper. Read it on the crapper. It's the best, you know, it's quick stuff. It's not...
After you have one of those breakfast burritos?
No, I mean, I can't... Well, the breakfast burrito's fine, but I had some, you know, pasta earlier this week that didn't sit right with me. So, I mean, there was no reading going on then. But it's great to read, and, you know, I like to...
Remind me to never touch any book in your house, by the way. Just remind me.
Well, it's all on a Kindle now. I'm not a caveman. So,
okay. Or your tablet.
Don't touch my Kindle. Right. for many reasons. But yeah. Anyway, with our player debates, you know, it's a little different. It's what we do on a regular podcast, and it's also a different way to look at things. So, you know, you can take what we read and apply it not only to the actual debate between these two players, but also if you're looking at two different players, you know, if you're looking at any of these players. Well, you know, I like this point that the Welsh made about James Paxton. I like this point that Bogman made about, you know, Zach Godley, whoever it is. And that's why I like to read as much as I possibly can to get all the information that I possibly can and form a wide net of opinion. You know,
and that's what this book is about. And as I'm calling it, I think it's a good companion piece to anything else there out there that you want to get. You don't want to get other stuff. We're going to have our top 300 in there, and we've got information, a lot of information. You could use it. But I think more than anything, a lot of people might be like, well, I'm going to buy one draft guide, maybe two. Well, I think this is a companion piece to all of those. We did it in a very unique style. It's a boxing format. So it's literally player versus player. And then I'm doing a write-up, Bogman does a write-up, and then we have three guest judges that score the match. And we announce a winner. And the stats are up there, like, you know, where you might see like height, weight. You see their stats for the year in a 5x5. I think it's very cool. There's 99 of them. We pick some that are just right neck and neck, some that are, you know, buzzy players that are close. Sometimes we did ADP kind of battles. And I think you're going to like it. I hope you do.
Type of guys, right?
So, yeah, like, exactly.
You know, don't take this guy here. Wait and take this guy.
Well, we did some other unique stuff, too. We have three Shohei Ohtani debates. One as a hitter, one as a pitcher, and one as a hitter and pitcher combo.
Because there's
so,
no industry
there's no consensus.
That we would love.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Actually, we can talk about that maybe on the other side of the break, some of the ESPN Yahoo stuff that's going on out there. But the shill here is please check it out. InThisLeague.com is our website. We will have a banner up for it. It will be on Amazon. Tweet at us. We'll be tweeting about it, and we will definitely be trying to, you know, go everywhere we can to talk about it, because we'd love for the sales to be decent to justify us doing a football version and doing more. And it's very unique. We got, yeah, I don't know, up tenths to 20 different industry guys to be the quote unquote, you know, boxing judges for our matches. So I think you're going to like it. And we've got some really interesting stuff that came from it, which brings us to, let's do a little preview, Bogman. We have a couple debates we want to talk about. I think we're going to talk about one from the debate, or one from the book, And then we came up with a couple that they're not in the book, but they're secondary ones. Because another thing we're going to do is we have our insider program, the ITL Army. If you're a captain in the ITL Army, you get the book for free. Just pointing that out to everybody. You get it for free. If you're another, any piece of the Army, you're going to get a discount on the book. But we are all, we are going to do an episode for the Army that are strictly set for talking about the book, debates we didn't do. We're going to take some listener submission ones, and we're going to do a really cool companion episode to this. So, okay, so the debates we have here, these are all in the book, Bogman. That's what we're confirming, the ones we're going to talk about here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, these one. Oh, go ahead.
No, finish what you're going to say.
Well, I was just going to list them out here. So we have Quaid.
Well, here, no, let's do this. Okay, well, we can do that one. I want to ask you this very first top one. Sorry, I thought you were going on a thing. Before we let the cat out of the bag here, Bogman, let the whole book out here. I want to talk about this first one because I think it's really, really interesting from a... Now, this one wasn't from the book, right?
No, this one was not in the book.
Okay, so I'm skipping around us. I apologize. Let's do this one that's not from the book, and when we come back from break, we will talk about the Quaid Tanaka, which we've already set up here, which I think was fascinating in the book, which is an ADP one. But these are two players we're going to talk about here for a second. In the book, we had really good matchups, and for the life of me, I cannot remember who the matchups were for these two, but they were interesting.
we'll
look during break who they actually were, who their personal ones were against.
Merrifield was Otani as a batter only.
Yeah, I like that one. I thought that was a good one. I don't remember what Cespedes was. Oh, it was Cespedes versus Posey?
I think that's it.
I think that might have been it, too. So it's really
cool
ones. We did
99, so.
I know, we did so many. All of them. It is. But in the process, we got to, like, you know, get different eyes and scopes on different things. So, and Bogman put this one together. This is not in the book, but this is one that we can talk about. And I'd like to tweet as we go to break so we can talk about Whit Merrifield versus Yoenis Cespedes for this coming year for drafts. Do we know the ADPs offhand of these two players? Because Whit Merrifield at one time was going around the 60s. I think he might have settled between 75 and 80. And Cespedes is kind of – these guys are actually maybe a little bit closer in ADP range because you've got one player – and this is the whole point of the book and how we try to design some of this stuff. Like, we've always done this. Like, people talk about ranks, but then when application – you know how many times we've had the smartest people in the industry come on and then we start drilling them? Well, what about this guy for this guy? And they're like, oh. Like, that's the whole point of what we want to do is we want you to get you thinking here to make your decisions.
This is 80.
But with
80, for Merrifield is 83. Cespedes is 85.
Okay, I mean, they're
there. They are compliment sandwich between Rafael Devers.
Okay, ooh. I mean, Rafael Devers, I'm all about.
So if it was a triple threat, it would be Merrifield, Devers, Cespedes.
So here's
the
storyline.
Which actually kind of fits the purpose of this debate. So
it does. It absolutely. And this is the whole point of the book that we're doing. So here's the setup on it. And here's where we're going to go with this. Whit Merrifield, the one-year wonder, against Yoenis Cespedes, the injury guy. The guy who has had years upon years, the gritty vet. The gritty vet who's been in the ring. He's taken punches. He's, you know, 35-2, and he just got knocked out in the third round by a young buck. A guy like Whit Merrifield, who's only done it once. He's got one good match under his belt. How do you decipher it? Obviously, there are parameters of, like, the construction of your team, but that's what I want to talk about. Let's talk about this one. I think we're going to break here in just a minute. But I definitely – well, I mean, we can start talking about this, but I want to put this as a poll. So, Mr. Chris Pavona, if you wouldn't mind on Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Bogman, maybe you can put on the chat for him the ADPs. Who would you rather have? That's what I would like to know. Yeah,
okay, so I don't even think minutes. You need ADPs because they're so close. You can just put
you don't think so?
Up. No, I think who would you rather have? I think it's perfect.
Okay, so who'd you rather have?
Two picks of each other.
Who'd you rather have in standard 5x5? Whit Merrifield, Yoenis Cespedes. Let's put that a poll, and we can kind of take a look at that. And if we can get it out here in the next minute, maybe when we come back from break, we might have a few little results. So maybe you can put that on the FNTSY radio one, or I can put it out and you can retweet it. We'll do one of those. But talk to me about that one real quick. What do you think? Give me your initial, because these are both your guys.
You know, it's funny. They are both my guys, and I went to my ranks. I have them within four spots of each other. But whereas Merrifield is going higher in most drafts, I have Cespedes ahead of him. So, you know, it was a tough year for Cespedes last year. He only played 81 games. but I know his track record, and his track record is to miss some games. Usually that's not something that I'm into, you know, guys that miss games, but I know that ceiling is so high for him. I'm worried a little bit about Merrifield, not only because he was a one-year wonder, possibly, but they lost a lot in that lineup. They lost Moose. They lost, you know, maybe Hosmer comes back, maybe he doesn't. You know, the only guy they were able to sign back was Alcides Escobar at this point. They lost Kane, too. They just lost so much in that Kansas City lineup. I'm a little bit afraid for Merrifield's overall production because of that. You know, maybe he gets the same amount of steal opportunities because they're a bad team, but I don't know if I trust the batting average and all that stuff. So I'm going to take Cespedes in this one.
Yeah, see, that's actually really surprising to me in that because, you know, I look at a guy like Whit Merrifield, regardless of, you know, some of the question marks, I feel like he's at a premium position where he is also, he's kind of putting out the premium stats of what you want. I mean, there's a whole nother argument that you and I have been having about, you know, about overall, like not forgetting about, you know, elite power, and everyone's out there focusing on the homer, you know, the homer stolen base combo. And I like taking the elite power high, but Merrifield is a player in the mid rounds that I like that covers both ends. 19 homers, 34 stolen bases with a pretty decent average. I mean, I think he's going to beat him in average. He's going to beat him in stolen bases. I think he's got a decent chance to compete in runs. RBIs are probably another another conversation as well as homers, but Cespedes also hasn't proven to be healthy. So I would say probably in most circumstances, I think I'm taking Whit Merrifield. So we're split on it.
Okay. That's
we're split.
Fine.
Guess what? Listeners, you can be the judge. You can be the third judge in here. You can score this for us in the tweet that we have out. So we got that out there on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network via my Twitter. But don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We're going to talk a little bit more about some player debates for fantasy baseball, some issues, and we're going to talk about the Super Bowl. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
The next screw that falls out is going to be you.
In this league.
What was that?
In this league.
You just bought yourself another Saturday, mister.
Oh, I'm crushed.
Welcome back. In this league of InThisLeague.com. I am Chris Welsh. That is Scott Bogman. Chris Pavona producing the hell out of this show like he always does. Welcome back. We're talking a little bit about our upcoming book, of course, in chill time. Talking about our upcoming book, the 99-2018 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates. Little lengthy, but, you know, it's very self-explanatory. That's the whole point. It tells you exactly what we're doing here. And it'll be available this coming week, the week of February 5th, right after the Super Bowl, between Monday and Wednesday. I highly suggest, if you're interested in it, you go to InThisLeague.com or follow us on Twitter. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? We will be tweeting about it. You know, it's just an unknown territory. I could have set up a pre-sale, but I just want it done before we do that. And so be on the lookout for it. But the whole scope of the book is about player debates, which Bogman and I love to do. I think it gives great context at the end of the day when you're, you know, ranks are awesome. And I think ranks are an incredibly good blueprint and they're important for everybody. But, you know, one of the great reasons why people enjoy listening, amongst, I think, a few things, listening to our podcast, the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast, is like we like to work a different perspective in. And that's what the debates are all about. So we did a whole version of a book on it in boxing style format with, you know, other industry guys, James Anderson, Ryan Bloomfield, Brett Sayers in it, Rob Silver, Justin Mason, I think I said Seeley. I mean, it's just like I said, the list is very huge and really great people in the industry. Jason Collette. And I think you guys are going to enjoy the contents that are in it. And it's all about player debate. So the one we went on break, we're talking about one that's not in the book, but two that we thought were interesting in their own right, where we had Whit Merrifield in the book going up against Shohei Ohtani as a hitter. And then we had Yoenis Cespedes, who was going up against Buster Posey. I believe that's the one. Just yeah, kind of off-position ones. So before the break, we just both made kind of a case a little bit for Cespedes and Merrifield. I actually like Merrifield. You were going to Cespedes. So I put a tweet out. By the time you're listening to this, it's probably still available if you're listening in the early Saturday morning or something like that. It is in favor of Cespedes, 61% to 39%, and we're just short of around 100. It is in Cespedes' favor. So people are okay with the one-year off injury and playing for the Mets. They're not okay for a Royal who had one good year.
Yeah, and I think it's the fact that Merrifield's, you know, just a little bit older, and the fact that, you know, we've seen Cespedes' peaks. You know, this might be Merrifield's peak, which is, it's a really good year. But I don't know if it's all about repeatability in most cases, right? Like, and that's why, like, when we had Ryan Bloomfield on our podcast last week, and he talked about how he doesn't like buying one-year wonders basically ever. And I think his rankings and a lot of his scores and our stuff kind of reflected that. It's about, do you believe, is it repeatable? And if you think that Merrifield is repeatable, I think he can get close. I worry about a complete nosedive. And that is basically, if you even took the names out of this debate, right? You even took Cespedes versus Merrifield out, and you said one-year wonder type of guy or first great year. Don't say one-year wonder because we don't know, I guess we should say. First great year with upside versus a guy who has a really high ceiling but has been banged up. Most of the time, I think I don't lean towards the in most cases, I think I lean towards the guy that just did it last year, not the injured guy, because I don't like, you know, the largest factor that leads us to know who's going to get hurt is previous injury. I know Cespedes has been banged up, but it's a hamstring. Hamstrings usually heal after an entire offseason, so I think he should be back to going. Hopefully he isn't buying more cars and smoking all them cigars.
Yeah, so. Cigarettes and, yeah, between innings.
Noise, by the way? That was a weird noise you just made.
Well, I was like, ah, when I said ah.
Oh, because it was, eh. That's what it sounded like to me.
I don't know. Like, my only problem with that is, like, you're right in like, idea, but in the full application of it, this is a guy also who, I mean, he's going to steal, 95% more bases than him. He's only going to hit probably 20 to 25% less homers, call it. Average could be better. He plays at a premium position. And, I mean, regardless of what people truly think, Whit Merrifield is a five-tool player, was a five-tool player. Will it repeat? That's part of the problem. But you're not the plus I have for Merrifield is you're not paying Jonathan Villar price that you did last year when Jonathan Villar went off and everyone took him in the second round, which was stupid. You're paying, seventh round? Cespedes area. Like, if you have no outfielders, I can see you buying Cespedes. I love discounts on good players for the next season. That's a big thing for mine. But I don't know. I think Merrifield is actually priced okay if he's in the 80s.
Let's play this game where you take one of those positions in the 80s, and then how far back do you want to crank to ADP to say, you know, you take that next second baseman or outfielder? How far do you want to go down?
Explain that to me. What do you mean?
So, like, do you want to go down to, like, 120 to take your next player, 150 to take your next player, and then we'll look at
you mean at that position?
Yeah. We're gonna look at both positions.
I don't know. Go in the 120s.
120s. Okay. So at outfield, here's your 120 guys. You have. Let's see. Marwin Gonzalez is 124. Cassianos is 119. I am not on outfield. I am on outfield, but some of these guys don't qualify. That's very strange. Puig is at 124. Hap is at 125. Desmond is at 127. Eduardo Nunez is down here at 130.
What about second baseman?
Let me pull up second baseman. Second baseman in the 120 range. You are looking at...
probably Marwin again because he qualified there.
Yeah, you have Ozzy Albies, Marwin, Javier Baez, Ian Happ, Eduardo Nunez, and then you get to DJ LeMahieu and Paul DeJong.
Well, I feel like we just made an argument to not take Merrifield or Cespedes because, like those are all pretty
these
good.
Positions are kind of deep, right?
Because here's the problem, though. Let's not put Albies in there. Don't put Albies in there because okay. I don't think he'll
He's
be there.
Move
and
up. Sure.
Because, like, if you would ask me Merrifield and Puig or Cespedes and Albies, I'll 1,000 times pick Cespedes and Albies. But I don't think that's – I think it's more viable to say Cespedes and LeMahieu or Puig and Merrifield.
Why don't we do this, the Welsh? Why don't we look at the sandwich player at Rafael Devers? Because you have Rafael Devers in between them both. It goes from 119, Nick Castellanos, down to Eduardo Nunez at 130, and then the rest of these guys are really late.
Yeah, I can eat Devers.
Beltre, Gallo, Longoria. So did we just argue for Devers over both of those guys?
We might have. We absolutely might have. That's a good point.
And he's unproven. Like, if you're stripping the names out of all these players, you have unproven, first year playing very well versus proven guy with injury problems. So
yeah,
that's also a thing too. So, I mean, you can take your risk wherever. Just make sure you're not taking too many of the same risk. I don't want too many.
That's a pretty good one.
I don't want too many one-year wonders, and I don't want too many unproven players at all. You know, you take
so
your
the
risk.
Poll. The Go poll ahead. Is currently sitting 59% Cespedes, 41% Merrifield. So it's cooled off a little bit, but it looks like Cespedes, regardless, is going to take this one, and that's the third score. So Cespedes is the winner by. I mean, depending how you scored, I don't think, like, if we were using the book scoring, I don't think you're giving this a knockout. I think you're giving this probably a 10-9. Cespedes Merrifield.
Yeah, I mean, it would be very, very close. You know, you have to give Merrifield credit for playing a more premium position.
But the poll results are coming in more at a 10-7. So this is a 10-8 win decision by judges in favor of Merrifield. Now, let's take a look at one that's actually in the book. And then I did want to talk a little bit about some of the football stuff before we get to the Super Bowl. But there's a looming fantasy issue with Yahoo and ESPN that I want to talk about. But before we do that, let's do one that's in the book. I don't know what round this is. We did the pages by round. This is somewhere in like the 30s or 40s round, something like that. And this is a two-pitcher matchup with not close ADPs. And that is part of the battle here and the consideration. It is Johnny Cueto, who's got an ADP in like the 150-ish range, with Masahiro Tanaka, who has got a 95. Now, we're not going to give you the results of the book, even though we've got some great judges in there. I can tell you... I think that one is actually littered with a really, really good panel that's in there voting on it. And the results are kind of all over the board, so you're going to want to check that one out. But let's do that one here since we both made arguments for them. I mean, regardless, sometimes in the debates, we didn't just necessarily do them because it's like, oh, yeah, this is what we feel. And we did it to make the argument. Sometimes we didn't actually necessarily agree with it. Where do you sit on Johnny Cueto, who you could get in the 150s, or paying a top 100 price for Masahiro Tanaka?
This one is really, really tough for me because I think that, you know, Tanaka got so much better in the second half. Like, I want to believe. I mean, I also really don't like Tanaka because I'm going to have to eat 40 peeps with Howard Bender on because I picked Tanaka over Dallas Keuchel like a big dummy.
Did.
And that first half for Tanaka was so horrible. His ERA was 5.47. He got down to 3.77 in the second half. He had a way better strikeout rate. Like it was a whole thing. I really like that Cueto's going late though, because I think
Me
he's going to bounce back. You know, his ERA last year was 4.52. His WHIP was 1.45. Those were, I mean, he didn't have an ERA that high since his rookie season, and his WHIP was never that high before. So I feel like he's going to come back, you know, to earth, which means he's going to play better. And he's got the better stadium. They get to play the Padres a bunch. They also
an improved offense.
Improved offense. They also get to play the Diamondbacks, Rockies, and Dodgers a bunch. I think even with ADPs, I'm still going to go to Tanaka. I think he's going to be that. I think that guy could be premier at the end of the season. Where, you know, Cueto comes back, he's going to play well. But I don't know. What's your opinion?
Well, I mean, you know, I actually had Cueto as the defensible piece in our book, and he's actually, I will tell you this, he's one of the guys that when I did the research on and I looked at more that I really felt better about and changed some of my opinion on. When I actually dug in and saw like, oh, you know, this the amount that he was off. Yeah, the amount that he was off in a bad luck sense, just completely getting away from his usual ground ball rates, almost like a 10% change in his ground ball rate from the season. There's a lot of bad luck that was involved. Also, he kind of changed his pitch mix up a little bit. He was using his cutter less, and I think he was going a little bit more changeup, which might be strikeout heavy, a little bit dependent
as well.
Exactly. So there's a luck factor that I think Cueto is going to be a steal in later rounds, but I also think Tanaka is almost in the exact same vein. So I think this is razor thin. I would go Tanaka because I think the upside is higher and he's still not like a huge cost. You know what I mean?
Here's some pairings. And if you're taking Cueto, guys going around Cueto, he's going 149.05 on FanTrax right now. Gio Gonzalez, Bauer, and McCullers are all three spots ahead of him. Three spots below him are Gray, Samardzija, and Salazar. I think Samardzija is another bounce-back type of candidate.
Boy, I like all the guys behind him, too. I mean, I kind of like those guys.
Yeah, let me look for Tanaka. Okay, so Tanaka looks like it's – what is going on here? Okay, the three guys ahead of him are Arrieta, Paxton, and my screen just froze up. So,
okay.
Arrieta, Paxton. let me get back to starting pitchers here.
Well, one thing I want to throw out while you're doing that, I'm looking at – I want to give the judges that were on this one because I really like the judges on this one in the book. Paul Spohr from Fangraphs, Steve Gardner from USA Today, and Eddie Almaguer. Almaguer, right? Did I say it right?
Yes. Yeah.
Our boy Eddie. Yeah. Boy Eddie from Fake Teams. I think he's also at Baseball Prospectus now, or Baseball HQ. I'm not sure. But Eddie, Steve, and Paul were the judges on this one. And this is one of the more fun ones because I'm looking at the stats and everything like that, looking at our write up and how the judges scored. This is a good one. And again, there's a shilliness to us wanting to talk about the book, but we're excited about it. We think it's very, very unique in nature, and it brings up, I feel, so much of this fun conversation. Now, did you find what you had?
Okay. Yes. Okay. So the guys going ahead of Tanaka are kind of the tier above him because he's at 94, and then Arrieta's at 87, and then Paxton's at 78. So they're not really going in the same neighborhood. Here's some other guys that are going in the same neighborhood. Garrett Cole, Alex Wood, Jose Barrios, Luis Castillo, and John Lester.
I mean,
I actually feel okay kind of going either way.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I like Tanaka maybe over
right
most. I like Cole.
I think Cole's going to go higher because of the trade. So these are, you know, ADP numbers for a while back. So I think Cole's going to move up. But I like Barrios. I like Luis Castillo. I don't know if I'm as confident as those options as I am the options around Cueto, though.
And again, it's another reason why Cueto kind of takes that argument.
Well,
Tanaka. I meant Tanaka. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I meant Tanaka when I said that.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Can come on the back end and you can get Danny Salazar or you can get
Jeff Garrett Samardzija. Richards is going way down here, too. And Danny Duffy. Richards.
So if you guys want
Richards,
if you want to check it out more, obviously in thisleague.com, you'll find the link. Be on the lookout. Tweet at us. Don't be afraid to just, you know, aggressively tweet at. I mean, don't be mean, but like, you know, just tweet. When is it? Monday, Tuesday, somewhere in that range. It's going to be out. We'd love for you guys to check it out. And we're going to have more conversations like this with the ITL Army. We are going to have a full episode dedicated to this stuff. People's questions, more debates. We might even do an episode on the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast, kind of in this nature, just a debate show that we can talk about that stuff. So be on the lookout for it. 2018 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates coming to your eyes very, very shortly. When we come back, I do want to talk about the Alex Smith trade, but before we do, I want to talk about a bigger question that's going on in fantasy, and it is an outlash on Yahoo Fantasy. People aren't happy.
Yeah, they shouldn't be.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about it. We'll be back. It's In This League.
Hey, Hey there, everybody. It's me, Joe Pisapia. Baseball is back, and that means the Fantasy Baseball Black Book is back as well. It's me. It's Paul Spohr writing starting pitching profiles. It's Jake Seeley. It's Sammy Reed writing DFS. It's a whole lot of greatness right here for you. You can get the new Fantasy Black Book for baseball on Amazon, on iTunes. You can get it in paperback. You can get it for your Kindle. You can get it anywhere you want, but make sure you get it, because once you go Black Book, you never go back.
In this league,
thanks to a generous donation by
Scott Bogman
to the
In This League,
I've been able to arrange for 10 different teachers to administer this
In This League
decathlon and various courses of study. However, if there is any attempt by either contestant to cheat, especially with
Chris Welsh,
who was a dirty, dirty tramp, I am just gonna snap. All right, then, but the
In This League
decathlon again.
That was Pomona. That was your masterpiece. That was your masterpiece.
Oh my god, it's so good. We need to have an In This League decathlon.
Oh god, I mean, that would be about 5 minutes.
What would the what?
The events? It'd be walking up the stairs.
Walking to the refrigerator for a beer.
It would be redness of face after bending down to tie your shoes. Who has the reddest face?
Redness of face.
Yeah. Lack of just overall breathing.
Breathing into the microphone repeatedly.
Oh, maybe size of indention that your pants make on your body when you wear them all day after you eat.
Yeah.
That's a big one, right? Yeah.
Yeah, see, I don't usually get that because I wear the too loose pants. So, which, hey, after my little problem, no, I'm just not a large enough human being to shop at Big and Tall. Like, I'm not tall.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm big, but the pants are a little looser. So, couldn't eat for 2 days. So, that kind of helps. So.
The ITL decathlon. Give me a break. It would be like slow walking to pass Snicker bars, you know, and going like 100 yeah. feet instead of like 400 yards.
Fast food avoidance?
No.
Fast food avoidance test? Like,
ooh, how
can
quick
you
can
past
order?
Jack in the Box? And I would win
one.
That mother. I would be world record in ordering. You know, number two, no pickle, no tomato. No, yeah, I wouldn't. You know what? I don't think I would because I'm tripping over all my words. I would be really bad at this event, actually. So I'm under pressure. We're live. It's I can't get it right.
So, yeah, I mean, we could be
breakfast
like how fast you could eat.
Please. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Boom. How fast it is to eat your meal. Your Whataburger with cheese.
Dude,
triple.
I used to be.
With fries.
This, I,
do you have a membership?
Triple. No. That's a meta joke. The Welsh is always on the phone with me when I go through Whataburger, and he tries to say horrible things to me while I'm ordering my food to get me to laugh at the person. And
I get you
they
sometimes.
They always ask me if I'm a rewards member, and I say no, and he's like, "Why aren't you a rewards member?" And I'm like, "Because it's just like accepting how fat you are. I can't do it. I just can't."
Yeah. No, it's a good point. I mean, we've mentioned this before. It's like probably, you know, you need to go up a size in shirt. And if you go and do like a thing online, it's going to tell you you do. But like if you do it, then you're that.
Oh, dude, I have a wedding in March.
I'd just rather not wear all the shirts that don't fit. Yeah. Oh, really?
I'm a groomsman. And he's like, hey, all you got to do is you're going to get an email. All you got to do is send all of your sizes in. And I'm like, oh, God, really? I got to send my sizes. I don't know my sizes for a suit.
You're going to have to go get fit. Ooh, you're going to have to, you know what you're going to have to do? Worst thing a fat person can have is you're going to have to go to a tailor and they're going to have to put lines around you. That is like literally standing on a scale and three people just staring at it. This guy is going to have this thing. He's like, ooh, I'm going to have to stretch this longer, longer, longer. Hmm.
Yeah.
44, huh?
Yeah. The best part is like, do we have it in this size?
Yeah.
Jim.
Hey, Sharon.
Jim.
Do we even have a 44? Do we sell 44 with a 28 leg?
Ozzy Osbourne's fitting store.
Sharon!
Sharon, the dog's paper on the thing and the fat guy needs a measurement. Sharon!
Do you have anything for someone this fat? I actually would like to go to Ozzy's because he wouldn't like see what's going on. Like he wouldn't see anything. It'd be great.
Even if he did, he wouldn't remember it 10 seconds later, so it's fine.
So this popped up online today. We've been beating this drum for a little while now, and it's becoming a little bit more prevalent because the feet are being put on the proverbial fire right now, where yesterday, February 1st, whatever it is, ESPN went down. Their fantasy baseball. What does that mean for everybody? Well, you know, that means it's new fantasy baseball season is coming. They shut it down for, what is it, usually like 2 days or something, ESPN's? That sound right?
You know what? I'm not 100%. We so rarely play ESPN. I'm not sure.
Call it 2 days. Whatever. Call it a couple days. They're going to, you know, just reset their stuff over. And Fantrax has been going on. A lot of people are out there doing NFBC drafts. And something that it sparked was, when in God is Yahoo Fantasy Sports going to make fantasy baseball open? It's already February. I mean, to a lot of people, it means nothing. But ESPN is closing down to open up shop very soon.
You know, I think more people would be okay if it just said a date, like a specific date. If you went to Yahoo Fantasy Baseball and it said, we're coming up February 5th, people would be like, okay, great. I know right when it's coming up. But it just says, Yahoo's closed right now. It'll be up in February. Well, there's a lot of effing days in February. And there's even the fewest amount of days in a month in February, but it's still a lot of days. So we would like to know when.
And a lot of people have been tweeting about this for weeks. When is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? So, Yahoo came out, I believe it was today or yesterday or whatever it was, and they said, or is this the actual tweet? Because there's a couple things that we're working through here. No, I want to save this. Okay, so people are getting pissed off. People are already pissed off about the Shohei Ohtani thing because Yahoo came out essentially, for however they want to phrase it, they essentially said, we're too lazy. We don't deem it necessary in whatever Yahoo's name is now. Whatever stupid business owns them now. They're not even really Yahoo. They're like, you know, Ozzy Albies or whatever. And they just don't want to do the work. And they're like, oh, it would take so much coding, blah, blah, blah. So he's just going to be a pitcher. And that pissed me off. That pissed Bogman off. That pissed a lot of people off. Not just because it's one player, but because it showed a lack of laziness to one of the biggest fantasy sites. And this is a big deal. Other sites are going to allow you. CBS came out on Friday. I just want you to know this. CBS Fantasy Sports came out on Friday. I knew about this because I did a draft with them about a month ago, and this was in talks.
I wasn't invited.
You didn't do that one. But no. They have officially said that Shohei Ohtani is available as a hitter and a pitcher. They announced it. Fantrax, they've been on this forever. They've been, you know, jumping on the opportunity to let everybody know. ESPN had openly said they still haven't officially covered it, but the word is, and what I heard is, they are going to be pitcher only. Like, that's all he's going to be. And Yahoo came out and not only said that is he going to be pitcher Yahoo was saying that they are going to have him as two different players. Conversation. We can't redo it, so you can draft him in two different. It's the worst stupid option.
I'd rather just have him as a pitcher.
ESPN's better. That's a better option. So people are pissed off about that. People are pissed off they can't get into their leagues. People are pissed off because now officially it's like ESPN is the only site that doesn't have stuff going on. And it started to hit ahead where Yahoo Fantasy Sports today, or at least on Friday, they tweeted, Yahoo Fantasy Baseball players, we hear you. We are working to make our product ready for another fantastic season. Fantasy Baseball will be opening in the next 2 weeks. Thank you for your patience. And as you can imagine, that was not received very well by anybody. Everyone is pissed off. It's mid-February. People in keeper leagues, they want to do stuff. They want to get going. The casual fan doesn't give a crap. They're just going to come in mid-March, and they're just going to draft off the site, and they'll do what they'll do. But your core, the guys that would spend money.
You're not a casual fan in 90% things. I mean, you know, maybe you are. Maybe you're getting more into it at this point. But if you're listening to Fantasy Baseball Talk in February, you're not a casual person. You want this stuff to be fired up. I don't know why is it so hard to not have it have it available all year long.
Why is it so hard that every other site can get things right and make Shohei Ohtani work, but you guys can't? And also, you're going to take two more weeks than any other site out there. It shows a lack of laziness. It shows a lack of caring from an overall perspective. Whether it's the team or it's a mandated thing that they don't have control over, it doesn't matter. The product enough it's really obnoxious. And our boy Sammy Reed, who's been on this show, and actually I'm going to be on with Justin Mason co-hosting Tout Wars this Sunday, I think before the Super Bowl. So if you guys want to listen, Sammy's going to be joining us. But Sammy wrote a really long tweet. And I just want to point out, we called out Yahoo weeks ago as well. But Sammy concisely said everything that we thought about it. Do you have like an excerpt that you want to read real quick of what he put? It was like a five-tweet thing.
Yeah, I'll just burn through it. Dear Yahoo Sports, I've had three keeper leagues on your site for the past 16 years, and generally you've been solid, if unspectacular. Overall, I can say I've really enjoyed my Yahoo fantasy experience, but the past few seasons have been bad. The abolishment of Smack Talk, the inability to post a simple poll, the inability to post a picture on the message board, the HTML message board formatting issue with a simple bold or underline rarely works, the loss of data from years past, the bungling of the Ohtani issue because you don't want to put in time/money to make it right, the infernal pop-ups for your daily game squares, etc. Now the late open, so our league has to go off-site to discuss draft dates, times, keepers, rules, changes. We've been loyal for a lot of years, and honestly, we don't want to move our leagues, but the reality is that the industry is quickly passing you by, and you need to put effort into your platform to keep up. If you don't, we and a lot of other people will have to move on. I hope you do.
Amen. Amen!
Amen.
To Sammy Reed. Said it exactly how everyone's feeling. Listen, Bachman and I, listen, we did Yahoo for 12 years. We really didn't want to move. You know, we like the format. We're used to it. But the product is lacking. You also, you're limited in characters. You can do like 20 character names or 18 character names. That's super annoying. They don't have the ability, like a place like CBS or Fantrax, to have minor leagues. So you can store that. So you still, places like we do, like leagues like we do, we got to still use Google Sheets. It's obnoxious to have what I view, and I know some people would view ESPN as the top product. What I view as the top product in Yahoo, really not care. And it simply all they can do is respond to a tweet saying like, hey, we hear you, because people are aggressively tweeting at them day after day. Why are you not prepared? Why is this not working? That was my question a month ago, Bogman. Why are you not prepared when you knew for a year Shohei Ohtani was going to come over and be a two-way player? In October, in November, the conversation was two-way player. It is now February, and they came out almost 6 weeks ago and just said, yeah, we can't. We can't do it, guys. We can't handle it.
Here's my prediction. Yahoo Fantasy is gone in 5 years. I don't think so? They care about it. I don't think they're making money from it. I think that they see it as an annoyance. Whatever new company has bought Yahoo, I don't think it's going to last. They've already started cutting games. They cut didn't they cut the golf game, I think, this year? I think they might
They added the DFS game. I don't know what the DFS game did for anybody. It's super annoying every time I get those stupid emails.
How many times do you accidentally click it on your app?
Drives me nuts. 7,000 times.
Yeah. Exactly. And we can't even do it. Like, it shouldn't even be popping up for us because we're in Arizona. We can't do DFS. So you have all of that stuff. They got rid of the bowl pick'ems. They got rid of golf. You know, anything that's not super popular is going to be on the chopping block for them. We'll see if March Madness sticks. I think it should, but I'm not 100% sold. I think hockey may be the next to go because they probably have very few users in hockey, or they're low.
I don't think it goes. I just think they're going to, the care is going to just keep slipping. Things will become later.
Then it might as well go.
It might as well. Okay, that's a different thing, though. I think it might as well go.
You're right.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it's being treated. But the only thing that's keeping Yahoo going is it's the platform that so many people have used. I'm not here to tell you that CBS or Fantrax or anything are better. I don't care to be the person to tell you that. You make your own decisions. People adamantly love or hate Fantrax. Same thing for CBS. Same thing for ESPN. Whatever. But you can't deny that the products that these other sites are putting out there have overpassed them. I hadn't really ever done CBS because there's some things about what they do I don't like in just the fantasy realm. But I've done now, I did a mock draft with the whole crew over there for prospects. We did the RDI draft. And you know what? It's actually cool with the minor leagues, and their player universe is great. Fantrax is like probably the number one destination for hardcore dynasties. And it's just a convenience factor for Yahoo. And that's unfortunate because that is going to end at some point. That is going to end. The convenience factor will go away as people more and more are more comfortable to trying new apps, trying new stuff. People hell, the guys like us that are out there, you know, shilling for certain sites, we're gonna put people in seats. We're gonna put butts in seats, and we're not gonna do that with Yahoo. And I don't, I mean, You might be right. It's gone in 5 years. If anything, I think the share, if you look at a market share of the, what they get in fantasy, I think it is going to drop dramatically. This year, I think, is going to be the biggest drop that they've had in 10 years.
It is because of the Ohtani stuff. Like, people are really upset about, you know, because, I mean, how do you handle this? You have five DL spots. You have a lot of people do their drafts offline. They didn't know that Ohtani was going to be two separate players when they did it. And now you have two Ohtanis on your team. So what do you have, an extra roster spot? Or, and with your DL, Ohtani gets hurt. You get one DL spot for two different Ohtanis? Or do you have
I got a prediction for you.
Up two for you?
That's a great question. I got a prediction for you.
I'm so mad.
I'll bet you. I won't put money down it, but I will bet you when Yahoo comes out, and it's going to be 2 weeks, it's not going to be too much sooner, don't be shocked if they cure the Ohtani thing. Don't be shocked if they fixed it and they come out and announce that, because I think they underestimated big time the backlash by so nonchalantly being like, guys, it's a lot of money and it's a lot of work. But yet every other site is going and committing to it. I don't know if ESPN's going to, but I think CBS was a big move in the big market to see Fantrax and CBS out there doing it. If they care about the product, maybe that's not even a prediction. If they care about the product and stop the pissing off of the fans, they would do that. They would go and make Ohtani a two-way player. And I think a lot of people will put blinders on and forget
the issues they have. I think if they were going to do that, they would have announced it. I don't think it's going to happen. So maybe they fix it next season because so many people leave this season, but I don't think it's something that they're solving this year. I think
always curious to hear what you guys think. Tweet at us. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? You got a take on it. Go check out Sammy Reed's as well. Sammy, a great tweet. I retweeted it. Bogman, I think, did as well. So you guys can check that out. Highly, highly suggest it. But don't go anywhere because we ain't done. We got a whole nother hour. And guess what it is? It is Super Bowl talk. Super Bowl time, my friends. We're going to talk about the bowl. We're going to talk about some prop bets. I'd still like to get in talking about the move with Alex Smith. So don't go anywhere. It's In This League. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh. We'll be back.